Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Wednesday class, June 8th, 2022, 2 Corinthians.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's Word. And therefore, open the Word of God to 2 Corinthians chapter 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. And in preparation to worship our Lord, it is our custom in this local church to spend the first few moments in silent prayer. That gives you the privacy of your priesthood. It gives you the opportunity of examining your own soul, making sure there's no unconfessed sin in your life. If there is, rebound is the order of the day. 1 John 1:9, if we acknowledge our sins to God, He, God, is faithful and just to forgive you your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Instantly you're restored to fellowship with God, the filling of the Spirit and your spiritual life. And now you can do a right thing. Worship the Lord the right way by the power of the Spirit of God. In preparation to worship our Lord, let's pray. Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. We realize, Heavenly Father, that all that we have and all that we are is because of who and what you are, your amazing grace. And we thank you, sir, for the preservation of the canon of Scripture, that eternal and absolute truth of your word, that manna from heaven that enables us to grow up in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that we might fulfill the very plan, will, and purpose that you have for each one of our lives. And as we assemble this evening to fellowship in the Word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Well, have you appreciated the blessings you got today and for the next few days? Nobody's going to get frostbite. What a blessing that is. Now, if I had a choice of being cold or being hot, I would always pick hot. I hate cold. Now, even at this time of the year, Debbie throws all the covers off and I throw all of them on. The most miserable time I ever had was in New Mexico, turkey hunting with Andy Todd, Pastor Andy Todd, who is now in heaven, and he was one of the best of the best of the communicators of the Word of God. We were on a turkey hunt, and in a tent, and I had a sleeping bag. It was a really cheap little thing for the summertime. And I was in there. I have never been so cold my whole life. When it got morning, Andy said, "Dick, you were dreaming and your teeth were chattering while you were dreaming all night last night." I said, "Andy, I am so cold. I'm not going hunting. We're driving into town. I'm getting the biggest, heaviest sleeping bag that they make." We went in there. I found it was good for 30 below zero. I bought four of them. And then we went turkey hunting and it was tolerable, but I hate being cold. I don't mind. So what if it's 100 degrees? You pansies. We're wusses today. What about the people that came out in covered wagons? They didn't have air conditioning. They were here in Las Vegas and they had no air conditioning. We're wusses. We're pansies. Air conditioning goes out. Oh no, the air conditioning's gone out. We'll call Jeff Huggin. He's not here because he's working on everybody else's air conditioning. No, I don't mind being hot. Now it gets to a certain level. Hell is too hot. The lake of fire is too hot. I don't want to be there, and I'm not going to. But as far as living in the desert, I love living in the desert. In the desert are survivors. Survivors. The animals are survivors. The desert bighorn sheep. What an animal the desert bighorn sheep is. We have them right here. We have more desert bighorn sheep around Las Vegas than anywhere else in the world. And the desert bighorn sheep only needs water one day a month. One day out of a month is all he needs water. All the rest of his water he gets from the grass or weeds or whatever's growing out there. That's all the water he needs. And he only needs to go to water once a month. So if you're planning on going desert bighorn sheep hunting and sitting on a water hole, you better take the odds and figure out the odds are not very good. Probably won't even come to the water hole. But they're survivors. Desert bighorn sheep are survivors. Magnificent animal. Well, all of that's free of charge. You don't just to help you out while you're here in the desert. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, we're going to start at verse 5. 2 Corinthians 2, verse 5, corrected translation. And this is the passage on the incestuous Corinthian who has recovered fellowship with God. He's living the spiritual life. He's filled with the Spirit. He wants to come back to the congregations in Corinth and get Bible teaching, and they won't let him. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 5. But if a certain man, referring to the incestuous Corinthian of 1 Corinthians 5, if a certain man has caused pain and grief, first class condition, and he has, he has not caused me pain and grief, but to some degree he has caused all of you pain and grief. I say it this way in order not to be too severe. The punishment is severe enough for such a person, which punishment was inflicted by the majority, a unanimous vote of the congregation. He was removed from the church. Then verse 7. But now instead, you ought to treat him with grace and forgive him and comfort him, so that such a person is not swallowed up and devoured by excessive sorrow or soul pain. Because of this, I encourage you to decide in favor of virtue love for him. Virtue love. Virtue love is the ultimate objective of the spiritual life. It's made up of three categories. Personal love for God the Father. That's the great motivating virtue. When you develop personal love for God the Father, that will motivate you to have impersonal love for all mankind. All mankind. The good, the bad, and the ugly. All believers, all unbelievers. And then third, it's made up of occupation with Jesus Christ. Virtue love is the ultimate objective of the spiritual life. That's why you're here. We're here a short time. God has given us this unique spiritual life in the church age. It only operates by divine power, the power of the Spirit of God, the power of the Word of God in your heart. You live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, the filling of the Spirit, consistent and faithful metabolization of the Word of God, execute God's plan, will, and purpose for your life. You will reach spiritual maturity, and you will have virtue love brought to completion in your heart. Well, the believers in Corinth, many of them are not living the spiritual life. They're living in the cosmic system, Satan's cosmic system. They have no virtue love brought to completion in their heart. They have no personal love for God the Father. So they have no impersonal love for all. And they cannot treat this believer, this incestuous Corinthian, with impersonal love. Oh, he's recovered. He's rebounded, got back in fellowship with God. That's a non-issue for him from now on. So the Apostle Paul in verse 8 says, because of this, I encourage you to decide in favor of virtue love for him. For precisely this reason, I wrote 2 Corinthians. I didn't come face to face and teach you face to face. I decided to write, to stay away. Namely, to put you to the test. To see if you are obedient in all things. Verse 10. Now the one whom you forgive anything, the incestuous Corinthian, I also forgive. For indeed, I have forgiven him in the past, with the result that it is a non-issue now, since I have already forgiven him because of you before the face of Christ. That is Christ who looks with approval and totally approves. And then why does Paul stress the importance of this? Verse 11. For the purpose that we should not be outwitted and robbed by Satan. Robbed of our spiritual life. Becoming casualties in his cosmic system. For we know his strategies quite well. Well, the last couple of weeks we've been studying, learning in the Word of God about Satan and his strategies. We just need a summary and then we move on to verses 12 and 13. A summary. One. Satan encouraged self-righteous legalistic believers in Corinth to make life miserable for this believer who failed, the incestuous Corinthian. Self-righteous legalistic believers are some of the worst believers on the face of the earth. They think they're so great. They're very self-righteous. They usually stay away from certain overt sins. But they're living in the cosmic system. They're living in interlocking systems of arrogance and interlocking systems of hatred. And their mentor is not Jesus Christ, the Creator. Their mentor is Satan. And Satan encouraged these self-righteous, legalistic believers in his cosmic system to make life miserable for this believer who failed, the incestuous Corinthian. 2. Self-righteous legalists live their life in Satan's cosmic system. They serve Satan. They are believers in Jesus Christ, but they serve Satan. They are the devil's disciples. He is their mentor. And they carry out his plans. These self-righteous, legalistic believers in Corinth, they're living in Satan's cosmic system. They are out of fellowship with God. They have no virtue love brought to completion in their heart. They have no personal love for God the Father, and therefore they cannot and will not love this believer with impersonal love for all. Because impersonal love for all, here it is, number 2. Impersonal love for all is unconditional. Unconditional love for all. Makes no difference who. Whether they have honor, don't have honor. Whether they have virtue, they don't have virtue. Whether they're Republican or Democrat. Ha ha. There's a real test right there. Whether they are good, the bad, or the ugly. 3. They have become the devil's disciples. Here they are living in Corinth, going to church, very self-righteous, very impressed with how good they are, how wonderful they are. They'll even go to church and say, "Amen, brother, hallelujah." They think they're great, and they're not great at all. They're living in Satan's cosmic system, and they are the devil's disciples. 4. The devil loves to see discouraged believers persecuted by his disciples. The devil loves to see discouraged believers persecuted by his disciples. And unfortunately, many times they are believers living in the cosmic system. Self-righteous, legalistic believers. Now here's a principle. Make sure you get this down. Everyone, at some time or other, has done something for which he is thoroughly ashamed. Everyone. Let's see, that means that would include everybody here. Everyone at some time or other has done something for which he is thoroughly ashamed. You say, what about the Apostle Paul? I'm glad you asked that. What about the Apostle Paul, the greatest believer of all? Yes. In fact, that's verses 12 and 13. He's going to talk about something he's thoroughly ashamed. Greatest believer ever lived, and he did something that he was thoroughly ashamed of. And that's verses 12 and 13. But not just that. There are 4 instances in the New Testament scriptures where the Apostle Paul did something that he was thoroughly ashamed of. Oh, we'll cover those coming up. Probably not tonight. So everyone at some time or other has done something for which he is thoroughly ashamed. 6. This incestuous Corinthian has gone through severe divine discipline. God has whacked him. Punitive suffering, divine discipline from God. You see, God is what? God is holy. The holiness of God is made up of two divine attributes. God is absolute righteousness, and God is perfect justice. Absolute righteousness and perfect justice. What the righteousness of God demands, the justice of God executes. What the righteousness of God accepts, the justice of God blesses. What the righteousness of God rejects, the justice of God judges. Well, incest is a terrible perversion, immoral degeneracy. And the righteousness of God rejects incest, and the justice of God judged him. So this incestuous Corinthian has gone through severe divine discipline, warning discipline, intensive discipline, and the Lord Jesus Christ had Paul turn this believer over to Satan for the destruction of his flesh. Dying discipline. 7. The incestuous Corinthian believer in Corinth came very, very close to the sin unto death. And then, well, he got whacked so many times and hit over the head so hard, he used the greatest problem-solving device in many ways that God's given us, rebound. 1 John 1:9, if we acknowledge our sins to God, He, God, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He rebounded. And by the way, he rebounded and he got out of the cosmic system with incest. He never, ever went back in that category. Oh, he sinned, like all of you sin. But he never, ever went back to incest. That was over. That was done. He was restored to fellowship with God, filled with the Spirit and living the spiritual life. 8. God forgave him. Paul has forgiven him. But many self-righteous, legalistic believers in Corinth have not forgiven him. God forgave him. Paul has forgiven him. But many self-righteous, legalistic believers in Corinth have not forgiven him. Nine, they have succumbed to Satan's strategies. Verse 11, for the purpose that we should not be outwitted and robbed by Satan. Robbed of our spiritual life, becoming casualties in his cosmic system. For we know his strategies quite well. They have succumbed to Satan's strategies. They're living in the darkness of the cosmic system. And so when they look at this believer, you know what they want to do? They want to make him crawl. And that's the way self-righteous, legalistic people operate. You have them in local churches everywhere. And when somebody's sin becomes apparent to the congregation, why, the self-righteous crowd, they want to see that believer crawl. They would love to put nails and ground glass and then say, crawl down that main aisle. We want you to suffer. Well, there's no spiritual life there. And you know, those people that have that attitude, they always think they're the greatest believers, but they're not. They're actually the worst of believers. In fact, they're far worse than the incestuous Corinthians. So they have succumbed to Satan's strategies. They're living in the darkness of the cosmic system. And they want to make him crawl. They have no virtue love brought to completion in their hearts. They haven't fulfilled the ultimate objective of the spiritual life. They have no personal love for God the Father, the motivating virtue. They have no impersonal love for all, which is unconditional love. They have no occupation with Christ. They have no forgiveness. They cannot forget what this believer has done. They have no grace righteousness. They have no grace orientation. So here's the principle again. Everyone at some time or other has done something for which he is thoroughly ashamed. And that brings us to verses 12 and 13, where Paul is now going to discuss one of his failures. It was a terrible failure. 2 Corinthians 2, verses 12 and 13. Verse 12, furthermore, when I came to Troas, this is the post-positive conjunction de, plus the aorist middle participle of erchomai, plus the prepositional phrase, eis, plus the accusative singular of Troas with the definite article. The post-positive conjunction de is not a conjunction of contrast. Many times it is, but not here. De, it is used here as a transitional particle, and it may be translated and, moreover, then, or now. We're going to translate it now. Then we have the verb erchomai. E-R-C-H-O-M-A-I, erchomai. Erchomai means to come. The aorist tense is a culminative aorist. Now, for those of you who have been here for many, many moons, you are aware of this. The aorist tense, you have an ingressive aorist. An ingressive aorist, which looks at the beginning. You have a constative aorist, which looks at the entire process from beginning to end. And then you have the culminative aorist, which is looking at the culmination of it, consummation or culmination. Now this is a culminative aorist. Culminative aorist, right here. And that means he got there. So the verb erchomai is a culminative aorist, viewing Paul's journey to Troas and emphasizing the culmination. He got there. The middle voice is deponent, middle in form but active in meaning. The Apostle Paul performed the action of coming to Troas. The participle is circumstantial temporal. So you translate it, now when I came to Troas, or when I got to Troas. And the city is the proper noun. Troas, T-R long O-A-S, Troas. Now Troas was located in the northwest corner of Asia Minor, near the ancient city of Troy. It was a major Roman seaport on the Dardanelles. In fact, the Apostle Paul used it to travel throughout the Roman Empire. Acts chapter 16, verses 8 and 11. So he says, now when I came to Troas, or when I got there, when I got to Troas. And then we have to preach Christ's gospel. This is the preposition eis plus the accusative singular of euangelion with the definite article plus the genitive singular of Christos with the definite article. The preposition eis, E-I-S, eis. Eis indicates the goal or the purpose. The goal or purpose for Paul going to Troas. And the goal or purpose was to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is where God wanted him to be. This was the geographical will for Paul's life. God's geographical will for Paul at this time was to go to Troas and proclaim the gospel of Christ. But he didn't do that. He got into worry. Mental attitude, sin of worry, and he didn't communicate the gospel. He did not stay and teach Bible doctrine, and he took off to Macedonia. He was out of the geographical will of God, out of the operational will of God. He is 100% wrong in what he does. Now, when I got to Troas to preach Christ's gospel, euangelion is the word gospel. Great word, euangelion. E-U-A, two gammas together. The first one is like an N, you transliterate like an N. The second one like a G. E-L-I-O-N, euangelion. Euangelion is a compound word. L-E-U means good, literally good, angelion, news. It's usually translated gospel, but it actually means good news. That's what the gospel is. The gospel is good news. So make sure when you're witnessing for Christ and fulfilling your royal ambassadorship, and by the way, we are all ambassadors for Jesus Christ. And as ambassadors for Christ, you represent all of you. All of you are to represent Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. Present the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. By the way, we have a fantastic evangelism team. And Jamie heads that thing up. She is phenomenal in contacting people all over this city and outside this city and scheduling for our evangelism team to come in and speak. They've gone to adult daycare centers all over the city, gone in and presented the gospel of Jesus Christ. And they were invited out to Indian Springs. Every year they're invited out to Indian Springs to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ to the whole community of Indian Springs around Easter time. And we have been invited this month to Child Haven. We haven't been to Child Haven for quite a while because of COVID. It's opened up and they want us to come back to Child Haven to present the gospel to the kids. But also to the adults that God brings there as well. So, first of all, I'd like you all to be praying for the evangelism team that they'll be channels of God's grace, tools in His hands to be used by Him, that the gospel will be given clearly and accurately, that God will bring all the people that are supposed to be there, all the kids that are supposed to be there, and the adults who are supposed to be there. And that's near the end of this month. There'll be child evangelism. We'll be going to Child Haven again. And it's a great... we've been there several times in the past. But after COVID, this is the first time that we have the opportunity to go back again. And if any of you are interested in child evangelism and using your royal ambassadorship in that regard, then you need to contact the deacons or contact Jamie. And it's a fantastic thing. There's nothing quite like the excitement of seeing someone place their faith in Jesus Christ. and the victory that they have won. They are going to be live forever with the living and true God in heaven, and there's some absolutely amazing and fantastic. Always is. I never ever get tired. I always get cranked up when the gospel, I give the gospel to someone and they place their faith in Jesus Christ. I'm just overwhelmed. And God made all of you are royal ambassadors for Christ. You don't have to have the gift of evangelism. There are a few people that have the gift of evangelism. You don't have to have the gift of evangelism. You are all ambassadors for Christ. And as ambassadors for Christ, when you live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, you will present the good news of the gospel. God will open doors. If you live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills and advanced maturity, God will open doors for you. You got to have that mental attitude. He's going to open doors for you everywhere you go. Everywhere you go, whatever you do, He will open the door for you. And there's no accidents in the plan of God. So if you find yourself all of a sudden with somebody, oh, what do you do, or where do you go? You know, talk to me. What do? I'm a pastor. Ooh. I remember when I was working with my dad, nothing like construction if you want to hear four-letter words. Working with my dad in construction, it was lunchtime. We're in the trailer having lunch, and all these guys come in there, and they're just going four-letter word, four-letter word, four-letter word, four-letter word, four-letter word, four-letter word. I could tell you, but you know what they are. And then one of the fellas said, "Dick, what are you doing? What are you gonna do?" I said, "Well, I'm at Dallas Theological Seminary. I'm training for the ministry." I said, "That's all right. I understood what you're saying. Those are what I call expletives. And you communicated quite well. Now you could extend your vocabulary to a few five-letter words and said not just four, but I understood exactly what you're saying, and it hadn't bothered me." And you see, when you grow up in a home where your dad is a superintendent on the construction crew, and State of Washington, you had to be a union member. And my dad would always try to go through the union. But some of the worst workers in the whole world are union members. And they wouldn't show up. If they did show up, they showed up drunk in the middle of the day. They didn't show up on time. And then my dad would have me. I wasn't a union member. He would have me go out and do the work. And these union guys would come out and say, "What's that kid doing over there? He's tying steel. That's our union job." My dad then went into a tirade. "You blankety blank 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 damn union blank blank. You show up late, you show up drunk, you don't do your job. I can get a kid to do your job. My job is to finish this and make money for my boss. And so he's going to do it. And you fulfill any threat you want to make." But my dad, when he got done kindly telling this fellow that he was totally out of line, why? I learned all those words. I hardly ever use them up here. Every once in a while, they just seems like the Holy Spirit wants to make this clear. So Evangelion is a compound word made up of El, good, Angelion, news, So literally, the word gospel means good news. The genitive singular of Christos, the good news about Christ. It is good news about Christ. Now, when I got to Troas for the purpose of proclaiming the good news about Christ, the gospel of Christ, one, it is a fact that every member of the human race is born in spiritual death. We come into the world physically alive and spiritually dead. We're totally depraved. We have no relationship with God. And as a result of spiritual death, we produce sin, personal sin. That's a fact. Romans 3:23, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's not good news that we're in spiritual death, but it does present a problem. We have a problem. Houston, we have a problem. Two, it is good news that Jesus Christ solved mankind's problem of sin by his work on the cross. It is good news that Jesus Christ solved mankind's problem of sin by his work on the cross. Three, it is good news that God the Father designed Operation Grace, the cross. Operation Grace, the cross, is good news. Four, it is good news that the one who simply believes in Christ, faith alone in Christ alone, apart from any and all works, has eternal salvation. It is good news that the one who simply believes in Christ, faith alone in Christ alone, apart from any and all works, has eternal salvation. Five. The gospel, then, is the communication of the truth of God's word pertaining to salvation. You got to know that as a royal ambassador for Jesus Christ, you're in a sound Bible teaching church, you grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ, you learn doctrines, the truth of the Word of God that pertains to salvation. And that includes Christology, that includes soteriology, that includes unlimited atonement. That includes redemption. That includes reconciliation. That includes propitiation. That includes eternal security. And as you reach spiritual adulthood, you will have all of these truths of the Word of God down solid. Absolutely. You'll know them inside out. And therefore, when you're out and God opens the door for you, God opened the door for Paul. He opened the door for Paul to go to Troas and present the gospel. He opened the door because there were people there that were positive of God consciousness and they were going to be saved. And Paul leaves. The Lord opened the door and Paul takes off. He totally failed. But if you live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, advance the spiritual adulthood, you will have these doctrines down. And when you're out just living your life, I don't care where you are, what you're doing, why, God will open the door, give you an opportunity, bring someone to you to present the gospel of Jesus Christ. You might be on an airplane. And the person sitting next to you. I've had that happen. On an airplane, person sitting next to me. And it was no accident. God wanted that person to hear the gospel. And he heard the gospel. He believed in Jesus Christ. And we were only together about 45 minutes on a plane. In those 45 minutes, he believed in Christ. And he's going to be with the Lord Jesus Christ forever and ever in heaven. no accidents in the plan of God. Wherever you are, whatever you're doing, it doesn't make any difference. You could be hunting. You could be on a hunting trip. You could be up at Dufferina Ponds. And we used to go up hunting up there a lot. And there was a hot spring there. Hot spring, natural hot spring. And then they pumped the water from the natural hot spring into a shower house. You could take a hot shower from a natural hot spring. How cool is that? And we had, we'd take up about 10, 15 people from the church. We'd go up there. And there was a couple one time that they were in the pool and they just said, "Who are you guys?" "What do you mean?" "Well, there's something special about you people. You have something that we don't have." I mean, that literally was, "You have something we don't have, but we would sure like to have it." Well, we're Christians, and we have Jesus Christ. We have a personal relationship with the living and true God, Jesus Christ. They recognized it. They could see it just in everything that went on. They could see that we had something that they wished they had, but they didn't have. So we gave them the gospel. We were on a hunting trip in a natural hot spring and drinking a glass of champagne. Doesn't make any difference. Now, I'll say this one, and then some of you will say, okay. I was playing blackjack in a casino. I was playing blackjack and the dealer says, "What do you do?" I said, "I'm a pastor." And there's a guy sitting next to me. He goes, "You're a pastor?" I go, "Yes." He goes, "I'm a deacon. If my pastor knew I was playing blackjack, I wouldn't be a deacon anymore." I said, "Well, if he fires you, come over to our church." And I said, "Yes, I'm a pastor of a church." And I gave her the gospel. And after I gave her the gospel, she came here. She came here with her dog. Which for some reason, dogs and Upland Bible Church go together. I'm not talking about the you ladies. She came in with her dog. The dog had to stay outside, but she came in. And she came quite a while. And when I went back and played blackjack, she would always tell everybody, "This is Pastor Olson. He's a pastor of a local church." Then I gave an opportunity to give the gospel. No matter where you are, six, the doctrines of salvation are the best news humanity could ever receive. The doctrines of salvation are the best news humanity could ever, ever receive. What do you talk about? You talk about a bunch of crap most of the time. That doesn't mean a damn thing. It doesn't mean a thing. You spend all your life talking about things that don't mean a damn thing. But you never talk about something that means everything. Everything. Whether someone lives in eternity with Jesus Christ, or will they miss out forever? The doctrines of salvation are the best news humanity could ever receive. Seven, the gospel is the doctrine pertaining to the work of Christ on the cross. All the sins of the world were poured out on Him. All the sins of the world were judged in Him once and for all. Because He paid the penalty for the whole world's sins, anyone who simply believes in Jesus Christ receives the gift of eternal life. Eight, the gospel has been available so that in every generation of every dispensation, those who were positive could respond by faith in Christ and receive the gift of eternal life. The gospel has been available so that in every generation of every dispensation, those who were positive could respond by faith in Christ and receive the gift of eternal life. So far it says this. Now when I got to Troas for the purpose of proclaiming the good news about Christ, the gospel of Christ, and a door was opened unto me of the Lord. This is the conjunction chi plus the genitive singular of thura plus the perfect passive participle of anoigo plus the dative singular of the personal pronoun ego plus the prepositional phrase and plus the dative singular of kurios. Now chi here is a continuative chi translated and. Then we have thura. T-H-U-R-A, thura. Now, literally, thura is a door. A thura is a door. Figuratively, it's something made possible, something made feasible, an opportunity. This is the door of opportunity. The door of opportunity for presenting the gospel to someone. The door of opportunity for Bible teaching. With the Apostle Paul, it was both of those. A door of opportunity for evangelism, a door of opportunity for Bible teaching. And then we have the verb anoigo. Looks like that in the Greek, A-N-O-I-G, long O, anoigo. Couple of things. One, anoigo means to open. This, point two, this door of opportunity was opened to Paul en curio. This is the preposition en plus the dative, by means of. This is by means of. And this is the dative of curios, K-U-R-I-O-S, and that is the Lord. This door of opportunity was opened to Paul by the agency of the Lord. The Lord opened this door for Paul. This is God's will for Paul's life right now. Geographical will of God for Paul is to be in Troas, presenting the good news of the gospel of Christ and teaching the word of God. That's what God's will is for Paul's life right now. So again, point two, this door of opportunity was opened en curio by the agency of the Lord. Three, the dative singular of the personal pronoun ego is the dative of indirect object to me or for me. And the indirect object is the one in whose interest or benefit something is given. And Paul says, this was for my benefit. The Lord opened this door of opportunity for me, and this was for my benefit. And I blew it. Four. This is the will of God for Paul at this time. This is the will of God for Paul at this time. Five. The geographical will of God for Paul is to be in Troas. The geographical will of God for Paul is to be in Troas. God, the Lord, opened the door for him to go there. Why? To proclaim the good news of the gospel. The geographical will of God is for Paul to be in Troas at this time. Six. The operational will of God is for Paul to proclaim the gospel of Christ, and secondly, to teach the absolute truth of the Word of God. There is positive volition in Troas. There's a lot of people there that have gone positive of God consciousness. They're just waiting to hear the gospel. And there are believers there who are waiting to get grace and truth taught to them. So the operational will of God is for Paul to proclaim the gospel of Christ and teach the absolute truth of Bible doctrine. 7. However, Paul did not take advantage of the open door that the Lord provided. Paul did not take advantage of the open door that the Lord provided. Eight, Paul got out of fellowship with God. He left Troas and he got out of the will of God. Paul got out of fellowship with God. He left Troas. He did not communicate the good news of the gospel of Christ. He did not teach the word of God. He got out of the will of God and he left Troas and headed to Macedonia. Now, how did he get out of fellowship with God? 9. Paul failed miserably through the mental attitude sin of worry. Worry is a sin. He failed miserably through the mental attitude sin of worry. And he left Troas and headed to Macedonia. You see, he was supposed to meet somebody in Troas. You know who he was supposed to meet? One of his number one students in his traveling seminary, Titus. Timothy and Titus were the two top students in Paul's traveling seminary. He loved both of them. In fact, we got 1st and 2nd Timothy and Titus. Those are called the pastoral epistles. This is a deep point. They're called the pastoral epistles because they're pastors. Timothy and Titus, two great students under the ministry of Paul. And you see, Titus was Paul's troubleshooter. And when Paul wrote 1 Corinthians, he was tough on them. He was very, very tough. I'm not tough at all. Paul was tough. He hit them over the head and hit them over the head again and hit them over the head again, hit them over the head again and again and again. For 16 chapters, Paul in 1 Corinthians just clobbered them. If I taught that way, I would have half of you coming back in my office going, "Now, Pastor Olson, you just got to be not so mean and tough and rough and everything up there, you know." And I've had people come back and try to straighten me out on some of those things. I'm not even tough. What if Paul was here? What if Paul had written 1 Corinthians to you? And just beat you. You're in this category. You're in reversionism here, a new one here, another one there. They set the record for reversionism. And Paul was concerned that he was concerned he was too tough. He was afraid that maybe the ministry in Corinth was done. It was over. So he said, "Titus, go to Corinth and see if there's even any churches there anymore. There may be nobody that even wants to hear the Apostle Paul teach anymore. So Titus, you go." and check things out and then report back to me here at Troas. So Paul was, the number one thing he was looking forward to getting was this report from Titus, from Corinth. Do we have, are there any churches left, or have they all just said, no, we've had it with Paul. We don't want any of his teaching. He wasn't sure what the situation was. So he was waiting for Titus and Troas, and Titus didn't show up. Uh-oh. Titus didn't show up. Titus isn't here. Oh, woe is me. Oh, crap. Oh, poop. Oh, me, I know. And he got into the mental attitude sin of worry. And so he left Troas. After Jesus Christ opens the door of opportunity to give the gospel and teach the word, he doesn't give the gospel, he doesn't teach the word, he takes off. The perfect tense is an intensive perfect. The emphasis is placed on the existing results of a past action or on a present state or condition resulting from a past action. The Lord opened this door of opportunity for Paul in the past, giving Paul this fantastic opportunity for evangelism and Bible teaching in Troas. The passive voice is the voice of grace. Paul received this open door for this tremendous Christian service and fulfilling his royal ambassadorship by the grace and power of the Lord. And the participle is circumstantial temporal. Now, when I got to Troas for the purpose of proclaiming the gospel of Christ, and when a door of opportunity was opened for me by the agency of the Lord, I had no rest in my spirit. Verse 13. Now we have the Apostle Paul's failure, mental attitude, sin of worry, and he takes off. He's out of fellowship with God. He takes off to Macedonia. Well, we'll look at that, Paul's failure, verse 13, next week. Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.